The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
It's the big one. Wembley is just over 24 hours away for Reading Football Club, and we're going to build up to that massive FA Cup semi-final with Arsenal here on the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with Get Reading for Friday, April 17th, 2015. My name's Dan Wimbush, editor of thetarlhurstend.com, and I'm delighted to be joined, as always, by Get Reading's Charles Watts. Charles, are you excited?
I'm very excited, Dan. It's felt like an awful long time to get here, but it's finally arrived. Like you say, 24 hours away, the sun's shining, and this time tomorrow, 31,000 Reading fans will be about to make the trip up to Wembley.
It's something that I couldn't see coming. If you'd said at the start of the season, Reading will be in an FA Cup semi-final on this day, I would have laughed. I then would have cried for reasons we'll no doubt get onto later. But it's just an unbelievable thing. The more I think about it, it doesn't seem real, and it won't seem real, I think, until it kicks off.
I know, it just shows how mental football is, really, doesn't it? It's just been a dreadful season in the league, not been able to string one win together, let alone two. And yet in the Cup, they've run through four now and have set up a tie with Arsenal. It's amazing. And yeah, let's hope it's not finished yet. There's still a massive game of football to be played, and who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it out here, Charles. I think you are possibly in the best position of anybody in that stadium tomorrow. Of the nearly 90,000 people, you're in a win-win scenario, because if Reading win, you get to cover an FA Cup final. If Arsenal win, you get to watch your team in an FA Cup final. Are you feeling quietly smug at this point? Because if I were you, I'm going to be honest, I would be.
I don't know about smug is a word. It's certainly it's kind of nice knowing whatever happens, I'm hopefully going to be at Wembley next month. But it's an awkward situation, I suppose. A strange situation, one that I certainly weren't expecting at the start of the season. But hey, I mean, like I said, it's a kind of win-win situation for me, whatever happens.
And, Are you going to celebrate?
I'm not going to say I'm strictly professional, Dan.
not the small fist pump under the desk.
No, not at all. I'll be straight down the line as I have to be, and as I have been in the whole build up to this one. So no, strictly professional for me.
Absolutely right. Well, let's get on to this game then. Reading, we'll sum up the week past. I don't want to spend too long on these games because, judging by the attendances and the performance levels, it's become increasingly clear that these league games don't matter for Reading Football Club. Since we've last spoken, a couple of games, a 0-0 draw with Blackburn and a 1-0 defeat at home to Bournemouth. Can we take anything out of these two games going into the semi-finals? Has there been anything, any positives or any particular concerns that have cropped up from these games?
Well, there's certainly one big positive, and that's the fact that I got a prediction right last weekend. So Exactly. I was waiting for the last 5 minutes for an inevitable Blackburn goal in that one to ruin the prediction. But no, I got that one right. So there's one positive. In terms of the actual what we saw on the pitch, no, not too many. Oh, well, actually, no, that's a bit unfair. I thought against Bournemouth, they were pretty good, to be fair, and obviously got off to the worst possible start. But from then on, they played well and gave Bournemouth a real run for their money. But as has been the problem all season, they just can't really score a goal at the moment, or even really look like creating a goal. So as well as, maybe not as well as they play, but they certainly match Bournemouth, which was good to see. But Bournemouth were relatively comfortable until probably those last couple of minutes when a few corners were going in. There was a couple of scrambles, wasn't there? But I think Bournemouth never really looked like conceding. The Blackburn game was just a bit of a non-existent match, wasn't it? I think barely any shots on target for either side, and it was just you couldn't get a more classic end of season game between two sides who, that know they're not going down and know they're not going up.
Yeah, the only positive from that game was obviously the Ryan's Royals day. I thought that went off brilliantly. I thought the kit looked great, and it was great to see Ryan having a fantastic day. But apart from that, I almost fell asleep in the sunshine, I've got to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, it weren't great. And yeah, like you said, that Ryan's Royals, that was brilliant, and it went perfectly. I thought, like you said, the kit looked fantastic, and it was just great to see. And there was, big round of applause for Reading for everything that they did in the build up to that, the time they put the club put in, and the Football League, I suppose, for allowing it. But I thought that was a real credit to Reading for the whole thing that surrounded that game.
Absolutely. Just going back to the Bournemouth game very quickly, were you surprised by Steve Clarke's team selection? Because I don't think I'm the only one that was thinking there's going to be a lot of changes here. We saw what Clarke did at Watford and made those nine changes. But for this game, it was pretty much as you were. Pablo Pogrebniak missing out and Jordan Ibiza coming back in. But other than that, this was pretty much a full-strength side. Were you surprised?
I was really surprised, yeah. I mean, Clarke spoke about it on Wednesday in his FA Cup press conference, and he said he was never in his mind to rest players.
Wow.
He said he did it at Watford, obviously, because it was different. There was only 2 days between the two games, and he says the second day in a recovery for players is actually the worst. It's the one where they're most likely to get injured. If they play the following day, it's actually better. But 48 hours later, apparently statistics and all their science tells them that they're more likely to get injured. So he just couldn't play them in that one. But because there was over 4 days or 4.5 days, whatever it was, between them, between Bournemouth and Arsenal, that he just had no hesitation playing those players. So yeah, I was surprised. I was actually surprised at the way he set the team up as well. I'm not sure why Nathan Lecky was playing at left back and Obita was further forward, especially given the Arsenal game in mind. You'd have thought he'd want his defence to get one. If he was going to play those players, he'd want the defence that was going to line up against Arsenal actually playing, just to get one more game under their belts ahead of that Arsenal match. But so I was quite surprised to see Aki at left back and Obita at left wing, and I've made my feelings clear on that the whole way through the season, that I very much see Obita as a left back and not a left side midfielder.
Yeah, well, it's more just a case of, you know, who else would play left back on the day at Wembley? It's not as a case of, oh, well, you can play Ake there and then play Obita left wing at Wembley. I mean, that can't happen. So Jordan's going to be playing left back.
Exactly. That's why I was surprised.
Unless you stick someone like ridiculous like Stephen Kelly out there.
But he wouldn't just suddenly do that out of nowhere against Arsenal.
I'd hope not.
I'd be stunned if he did. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense at all. So that's why, I was genuinely surprised, considering, obviously, Ake's cup tie. It was, if he was trying that out with Arsenal in mind, then fair enough, but obviously he wasn't, because Aki can't play, so it was a little bit of a surprise to me.
Yeah, there was only one really nervy moment. That was Michael Hector, who already on a booking looked like he could very well pick up a second one and be sent off, and I wasn't 100% sure of the suspension repercussions, whether he would have missed the semi-final on Saturday, but some hairy moments there. And in the end, the referee booked Alex Pearce. I didn't get that at all. But yeah, a bit of a let-off for young Michael.
It was a let-off, and it was quite strange. I mean, I haven't seen the incident. It was on the completely other side of the pitch to me, and we didn't get replays of it. But judging by fans who were over there who saw it, it looked like there was no foul or anything. It was Hector kicked the ball into Wilson's face, and Wilson went down. And the Bournemouth players suddenly surrounded the referee, asking for a second yellow card. I mean, at the time, when I was looking at it, and all the sort of furore that was following it, I was convinced he was going to get a second yellow card. It just seemed inevitable. The referee was talking to his assistants and everything. And I think Piercy saw that and went charging over there, standing up for Heck. He knew what was on the line for him and that the semi-final was on the line. He went over and almost kind of took one for the team in that regard. I think he got booked for how, you know, the level of his protests and how he was getting in the faces of the Bournemouth players. But fair play to Piercy in that one. I think he took the sting out of it. Heck quickly retreated into the penalty area and let it all sort of kick off over by the corner flag while he kept his distance, which was clever. But I think it affected Heck after the game. He didn't stop to talk to us. He looked genuinely really angry still when he walked past us. He just kept his head down, shook his head when we asked to speak to him, and stomped up the stairs. I don't know if he was angry at Bournemouth or he was angry with himself for allowing himself to be drawn into that situation with the Arsenal game so close. But he really wasn't happy with something, Heck. But I suppose it's a learning curve for him, isn't it, a young defender?
Yeah,
and I thought he was brilliant against Bournemouth yet again, as he has been very often, certainly in the second half of the season. I think Hector's form is the biggest plus point of Steve Clarke's reign so far, apart from obviously run to the semi-final. But
agree. I think he's one of the few players that you've actually said this guy's actually gotten a lot better and improved. Obviously, Clarke being a defender himself obviously helps.
Yeah, I think definitely he's come on leaps and bounds. He showed it under Adkins. I remember the Ipswich game at the start of the season. He was brilliant at that match, Hector, but he was also very inconsistent. But since Clarke's come in, I think the improvement in it has been huge. And he genuinely is beginning to look like, now Reading have got a real, real talented young defender on their hands. Obviously very raw still and a lot to learn, as he showed against Bournemouth. But if he can keep developing at the speed he seems to be developing under Clarke, then it's very promising for the future in terms of how good he might end up being.
Yeah, hopefully they can tie him up to a new contract, because I think he's only got 1 year left on his deal. So it'd be handy for them to get that tied up soon, as I think he's leading the votes for the man of the match on the Tarlhurst end for that game with Bournemouth as well. And I'll be surprised if he's not in that top three for the player of the season vote come the end of the year.
I think he'll be second now. I think I can't really think of anyone else.
Between him and Fez?
Maybe Mackie will push there as well for what he's done in the last couple of months. But I think that'll be my top three if I'm voting. I think Fez definitely has it for me. And just because of what he did in that first half season, he was brilliant. Even though they lost most games, he stopped it being a Birmingham virtually every match an awful lot of times. And Hector second. And
well, anyone who scores in that semi-final to send us to Wembley again to the final, I think we'd just win it by default.
Robson Carney.
No, do you know what? If Hal Robson Carney scores a hat trick tomorrow against Arsenal, since it's Wembley, I will promise here on this podcast, I will vote for him for player of the season. So, easy one for you to do there, Hal. I said there was one negative in that Bournemouth game, or in the lead-up to that Bournemouth game. No Pavel Pogrebniak, who missed the game, reportedly with a knock. I mean, what is the latest? Obviously, Steve Clark, notorious for keeping his injury news close to his chest. Have we heard any news on the Pav?
Yeah, he's fit. He's ready to go. Very much ready to go, Steve Clark said on Wednesday. I was kind of surprised. He actually said it on Tuesday night before the game when he was talking to Sky that Pog had a knock, because he very, very rarely talks about injuries. And at the time when he said that, I think I put out a tweet saying I'll be very surprised if he's not involved on Saturday. I think it was probably a bit of a tactical knock against Bournemouth. I think he knows how important Pog leading the line on his own is going to be against Arsenal. And if he picks up anything in that Bournemouth game, Reading really struggle, I think, in terms of who would lead the line and do what Pog does so well. So I think it was more of a tactical knock. And no, he's fit. He's raring to go. Clark confirmed that on Wednesday, that he'll certainly be leading the line.
Any other injury news of note going into this one?
I think everyone's fit, apart from obviously you're given Anil Fernand, who I don't think he's even really included now. Clark came in and said, no, everyone's fine, all good to go, squad's fit. But then you think, they're not, is it? Because Anil Fernand's not fit. But I think he's just kind of ignored now when he sort of lists his squad. But no, other than that, everyone's fit. I think Euro Travner's not. I think he had a groin, sort of surgery on his groin a few weeks back, and I don't think he's fit and recovered yet. But I mean, he wasn't going to feature anyway, was he? So
I'm sure Alexis Sanchez is absolutely delighted he's not going to go up against Euro Traveller.
Yes.
Oh dear.
Poor old Juve.
Oh dear. Okay, so a clean bill of health, that's good. So that then leads us nicely into the next question of who is going to get the start in this game. What sort of team are you expecting?
It kind of picks itself. I think there's going to be one disappointed player in this team, and I've got a feeling it might be Gareth McCleary.
Really?
I mean, that's just me guessing. I look at it, someone's going to be disappointed. Either Robson Kanu, McCleary, I would say, out of those two. Because I'm sure, you know, the defence, the goalkeeping defence picks itself. We know what that's going to be. And then he's going to go with three in the central positions. There's no way he'll go 4-4-2 against Arsenal. It'd be just career suicide. He couldn't do it. Arsenal would run them ragged if they had an extra man in midfield. So Clark would certainly match up.
Chalobah, Williams?
And I would say, I think Jem's played himself into the team.
Really? Three games in a week, though?
We asked him that on Wednesday, and Clark said he definitely can play three games in a week. There's no worries about that. And the fact that he was withdrawn after 50 minutes, he was the first player withdrawn against Bournemouth, tells me that he did that with Arsenal in mind. I think he's played himself into the team, and it'd be brilliant if he has.
That's a fantastic story.
It would be a great story, given that only a couple of weeks ago when he wasn't included against Blackpool, I think we were all fearing for the worst for Jem. But then he's got himself two starts in a row, and he could well now be leading the side out at Wembley. So I mean, this is, you know, Clark's given no hints away whatsoever, but I just got a feeling he's played his way into the side. So I'd say it'd be those three in central midfield positions, and then you've got the big choice, because Pog's going to be up on his own. Then who are the two wide players who, you know, make it a midfield five, or when they attack, makes it a forward three? And you've got to say Mackie's definitely going to be in that side.
He's played too well to be dropped.
Yes, and I think he's going to be on the right-hand side. He's going to, just his work rate alone, in terms of defensively doubling up on Alexis down with Chris Gunter and giving him, you know, giving Gunter as much help as he can with Alexis when he's out on the left-hand side. And I just think Mackie's going to get that role. And then it's basically between McCleary and Robson Kanu. And McCleary has been playing on the left a couple of times recently. And so maybe McCleary will play on the left and HRK won't be in the side. But, you know, HRK is in the side most weeks at the moment under Clark. And
he's a big game player, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's done very well in the FA Cup so far. He's obviously not done very well in the league recently. He has, once again, was pretty much jeered off the pitch on Tuesday night. But we all know what he's done in the Cup, and he's popped up at the big occasions this season. And I just got a sneaky feeling it might well be McCleary who makes way.
Yeah.
Well, what do you reckon?
Robson Kanu's the last man to score for Reading against Arsenal, obviously.
Yes, he scored at the Emirates, didn't he?
Amazing consolation goal. We got thumped there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
This one's tricky because Gareth McCleary's pace on that big Wembley pitch, and Reading's attacking opportunities are going to be limited, let's be honest. They're going to be limited to counter-attacks and set pieces. And to have someone who can sprint down the pitch at pace and also crack off a shot from 30 yards with a decent amount of accuracy as well, as McCleary has done. You know, look back at his goals against QPR. He's such a weapon. But whether he goes safety first and does go for a slightly more hard-working Robson Kanu and then looks to bring on McCleary when legs are tiring, say Reading have still got the game level at, you know, the 70-minute mark, great opportunity to bring on someone like a McCleary. Can you imagine going at a slightly tired Arsenal defence? I think it would be a great weapon. It's a toss-up. I've given up trying to predict Steve Clarke.
It's really hard. I mean, I got it completely wrong on Tuesday night before the ball came. Got it more wrong. I mean, another option is that instead of Jem, you know, you got Williams and Chalobah holding and then Robson Kanu plays.
Yeah, he did that against Blackburn, didn't he?
And he did that again, yeah. And so maybe, and then you can have McCleary on the left and Mackie on the right. So he's got a few options of what he could do. And I mean, I would play McCleary all day long. I'm desperate to see him in that starting 11, exactly for what you said. Reading are going to be, you know, going to be pressed back in their towards their penalty area for most of the game. I think we all know that Arsenal are going to dominate possession. But Arsenal can get caught on a counter-attack. We've seen it countless times. You look at how they were beaten by Monaco in the Champions League, one of their only defeats in the last 18 games. And it was exactly that. They press up high and the fullbacks, when Arsenal fullbacks go, they don't go one at a time. They both go together. And so when you can win possession back quickly and suddenly spring, a lot of the time you've just got Mertesacker and Koscielny sitting on their own. The fullbacks are well up the pitch. And so if you can get those two, especially with Mertesacker's lack of pace on that big Wembley pitch, then it's a real chance for Reading. And you look at McCleary is the one man who could really do that because he can take the ball up the pitch in a matter of seconds. He's gone from one end of the box to the other. And but, so I would play him all day long.
Yeah, but at the same point, he's not been in the best of form. I don't think we've seen the best of Gareth. Well, I don't think we've seen even half best of Gareth McCleary this season. I really struggle to think of a game this season where he's really stamped his mark on it.
No, he's not been at his best this season. It's definitely, I think he's really struggled for having no pre-season and missing the first few months. I think he's just never been able to get into any sort of rhythm. And he's been in and out of the side under Clarke as well, be it through form or just through what Clarke wants to do. So, yeah, I mean, we certainly haven't seen the best of McCleary. He was very good at Wolves away in the 2-1 win. I thought he played that really well on the counter-attack. And again, that could be what Reading need against Arsenal. It's that sort of performance like they produced at Wolves, and they were very good that day, and McCleary's pace was a lot to do with it.
Yeah, this is almost going to sound a stupid question, but what is going to be Arsenal's main threat on Saturday? What is the key battle for you that Reading are going to have to win if they hope to somehow pull off a result here?
Well, it's just the midfield battle. In terms of individuals, obviously, you've got, you know, Alexis has done what he's done this season. Ozil's come back from his injury and has been running the show in recent weeks. Giroud's been banging the goals in every single game. It's very hard. I mean, Aaron Ramsey scored 3 in the last 6 and I think contributed to 7 of the last 8 goals with assists or goals. And he's back to his form of last season. So it's, you can't really single out one player because they're playing so well. I mean, they've got the best form in Europe at the moment for any team. 8 league wins on the spin, 16 and 18. It's scary statistics reeling those off. But the battle is the midfield battle. That's what makes Arsenal tick. It's the hub of their side. You've got the difference since their improvement this season. Coquelin's come back and is sitting in front of that back four, and he's given them so much license to roam. Arsenal fans have been crying out for a defensive midfielder, and more by luck than judgment, Arsene Wenger's actually fallen in onto Coquelin, the player who'd sent out on loan to the Championship and only brought back because of an injury crisis. But he's just transformed Arsenal. He's played so well. He's consistently been man of the match because he's allowing those midfield three in front of him to roam, because he's offering the protection to the defence. And they're the players that supply the balls forward. They rotate, they move across the pitch. You know, one time Alexis will be on the left, then he'll be on the right. Ramsey will be on the right, then he's on the left. Cazorla's just, you know, that magician in the midfield. And the only way Reading are going to have a chance of getting in this game is if they just disrupt that midfield. Somehow they win that midfield battle. They get bodies in there and don't allow, you know, the playmakers in the Arsenal side to really get on the ball and start dictating the play. They've got to get in the face. I think Chalobah is going to be key. Chalobah's athleticism, his mobility.
He's a Premier League player, isn't he, playing for him?
Yeah, and he's going to be so vital in that because he is an athlete and he can get around the pitch quickly. He can get in people's faces, you know, win the ball back. And I think he's going to be key. Williams as well, but I think for me the most important player in the pitch tomorrow is Chalobah for Reading.
Yeah, if he has a good game, Reading have got half a chance. There's a great tactical article written on the Tallest and by Will on our stats desk, just saying that those players screening the back four and keeping Arsenal at arm's length are going to be one of the key battles. But like you said, there's just so many different weapons. I mean, this isn't a side that has qualified for the knockout stage of the Champions League for, what is it, 16 seasons in a row now?
Yeah, something like that.
For nothing. They are a team that that is known for getting through cup games. But at the same token, you know, they have, we've seen upsets with Arsenal in the past. You know, been beaten by Blackburn, obviously the Carling Cup final a few years ago against Birmingham. These things can happen, and almost, I think the form, in a really funny way, almost plays into Reading's hands, because every single statistic going has got Arsenal overwhelming favourites. The mentality, you've got to believe that there will be a part in the back of the Arsenal players' minds of, we've got this lot.
The only thing on that, Arsenal were given such a fright last season by Wigan at this stage of the competition, a championship side. I think that might hurt Reading a little bit, because if I just can't, because of what happened last year at this stage of the competition at Wembley against the Championship side, if Arsenal know that they can't just turn up and roll Reading over, because I think they thought that against Wigan last year and were 9 minutes away from going out and then only scraped through on penalties. And if they go in thinking that about Reading tomorrow, then it's just utterly ridiculous. And I think if that game hadn't happened last season, I think maybe that would be right what you said, but I just think that Wigan game is going to be so fresh in everyone's minds in terms of the players that I can't imagine they'll go into it underestimating Reading.
Obviously,
I really can't.
They've got a weapon behind the scenes as well, and one Brian McDermott, who unfortunately knows pretty much every player in that Reading side rather well.
Yes.
So I don't think not that there's many secrets in football anymore. It's not like 20 years ago when you didn't have all the video technology and analysis you can do. I mean, as I said, our own writers on the Tyler Sten can write a credit to them for doing it, but a fantastic tactical analysis piece. I'm sure the highly paid people on the Arsenal side of things know where Reading's weaknesses and strengths are. But yeah.
If Reading can keep thinking, I mean, it sounds cliche, and I've said it. I did a thing of five things how Reading must do if they've got a standard chance to beat Arsenal, and the first one, it sounds so cliche, is just keep things tight and open in 20 minutes in. I know it's easy to say, but it has to be done. If Reading let Arsenal get in front early doors, then it's game over. They've got to, that first 20 minutes is so vital. They've got work so hard. They've got, you know, everything that Steve Clarke will have told them, and Clarke will have schooled them very well on this. He really would have done. He knows what it takes to get under Arsenal and Arsene Wenger's skin. You know, he's worked with Mourinho for long enough. Mourinho's never lost to Wenger. Clarke knows how to set up a team against Arsenal. He will know very well about that. And if Reading players just have to follow that to the T, that opening 20 minutes, do not give them a sniff. Sit deep, you know, have that midfield protecting the back four. Arsenal, if Arsenal aren't given much space, they can slip into a really frustrating game of just sideways passing, slow sideways passing. And the longer that goes on, the more frustration comes from the Arsenal fans. I've seen it time and time before, and that's what happened against Wigan last year. Wigan didn't give them any space on that big pitch, and Arsenal couldn't get any fluency going. They couldn't get any speed into their play, and it was just all very, very slow. And just, like I said, sideways. That's what Reading have got to try and do. They've got to make sure that Arsenal slip into that style of play. They can't allow them space to get in down the wings, and they can't allow Cazorla space to dictate as he does in that centre midfield spot. So I think that's so important. The first 25 minutes, Reading have got to play it exactly to the game plan that Steve Clarke's laid out for them.
Yeah, and they've shown that they can follow game plans, and that's one of the big credits from Steve Clarke's reign so far. In these cup games, they follow plans perfectly. I mean, you look at the Bradford game away, Derby as well, and they've been able to do that. So fingers crossed, and they've had a lot of time to prepare for this. I know that they've had lingering relegation worries in the back of their mind, but I think this game's been large on Steve Clarke's agenda ever since the draw's been made. I know he's playing it coy, but I can't believe they haven't had this in the back of their mind, especially the last couple of games. Just very quickly as well, I know we've talked about the starting lineup picking itself, but I think one of the areas that there are a few questions is on that subs bench. There's a lot of players sort of who've been floating in and off that bench. I mean, we've mentioned one of them that's going to be on there. It's probably going to be one of Robson Kanu, Mackie or McCleary. The goalkeeper will obviously be Mikael Anderson. But then there's a few other spots. Got to imagine Jake Cooper will be on there. Or would he go that night? I mean, who would you have if you've got those five spots to pick from?
Well, I'd have Jake Cooper on there all day long. I certainly wouldn't have Zat Knight, and they're giving his performance a black ball. I couldn't think of anything worse than Zat Knight, an early injury, and Zat Knight having to trot out onto the...
Hasn't he played at Wembley for England before, though?
I think he has, yeah, and he's got two caps for England before. Unbelievable. So, no, I'd have Jake Cooper in there. Obviously, it depends. You're obviously either going to have Norwood or Jem, whoever kind of gets a pick for that. Or, like you said, one of the three could miss out, McCleary, HRK or Mackie.
Nick Blackman get on there.
Kwesi Appiah can't be there as he has been the last few games because he's cup tied. So yeah, Blackman. I mean, Cox is around. I'm not quite sure what's going on with Simon Cox at the moment. I've got to say, he's not been involved the last couple of games. It was apparently an injury, but
Steve Clark said he wouldn't have been involved even if he wasn't injured. He said he wasn't involved, picked in the squad.
And he ran past us. He almost made a point of running past us after the game on Tuesday night, sprinting up the stairs, then sprinted back down the stairs, and then sprinted up the stairs again. It was almost like he was making a point. It was clearly, certainly didn't look injured to me when he did that. So what that says for the future of Simon Cox at Reading, I'm not too sure. But, you know, could he be? He's a goal scorer. He's still Reading's top goal scorer at the moment. And you know, surely he should be involved for a game like this. He should be on the bench if they need
Reading
a goal.
Reading-born bred.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'd have Cox on there all day long. I know that he's not been scoring goals recently, but I'd still have him in the team. Well, not in the team. I'd certainly have him on the bench for tomorrow night. Like you said, Nick Blackman around. I mean, there's lots of options. The squad.
Yakubu? Does the Yak make it?
The Yak will make it, yeah. I'm sure the Yak will definitely make it onto the bench. I'd be very surprised if he wasn't there, actually.
Hopefully he'll get fed. He's got a lot of grass to graze on. So
scores the goals against Arsenal. He says it himself. He loves scoring against Arsenal.
There you go. Well, it got us into the quarterfinals, and I said that goal alone has probably paid for his transfer fee, or his contract fee, should I say. If you can write another chapter, that would be fantastic. So we've broken it all down. It now comes down to prediction time. Charles, I'm going to let you go first as the guest, as the Arsenal fan. Where do you see and obviously coming off the back of your fantastic prediction on Tuesday night.
I have got to say, I think Arsenal will win. I think Reading won't get rolled over, and I think they'll go there and they'll put up a good show. But I'd be very surprised if Reading can get it done. I just think Arsenal are playing so well at the moment. They're in such a good run of form, and it would be an almighty upset, one of the upsets, if Reading could get the job done, given their form and Arsenal's form. And I think Reading will score, but I think it'll be 3-1 Arsenal.
Yeah, I can't honestly remember what I predicted on the main episode of the show. It was a lifetime ago now. It was only Monday. I think we're going to lose. I'm going to say 2-0 Arsenal. I think it'll be one of those cases where Arsenal will score early, not put too much pressure on, and then Reading will go chasing it and concede a second, and then Arsenal will play things out. I just can't envision a scenario where Reading... I can envision a scenario, but I just can't see it actually happening of Reading getting a result.
It would rank amongst the all-time biggest upsets, I think, if Reading could do it at Wembley at this stage of the competition against an Arsenal side in the form that they're in.
Can you think of a comparable upset? Because I struggle to at this stage of a competition.
It's a struggle. It'd be a real struggle. And obviously Wigan winning the final against Man City. They were both Premier League sides, but Wigan were about to go down and Man City were about to win the title. So, I mean, that was a huge upset, you know, in the final. But in terms of the form and how many places separate the sides at this stage, it would be one of the all-time...
Talking about the best part of 35 places separating the two sides. And at a semi-final stage, I really struggled to think of anything.
I mean, yeah, you'd have to go back through the history. I don't know my FA Cup history well enough to go through it, but it would be, like I said, it would be one of the greatest upsets in the 130-odd year competition or whatever it is, that's the task that face Reading. So it's an almighty challenge, but as Steve Clark said, it's a great challenge.
Yeah, and it's one for the fans to embrace. I mean, it's going to be an absolutely fantastic day. I won't be there, but everybody else will. A cracking time. So the weather's looking good. All the tickets have been sold from what I understand. So it'll be a packed house. I mean, Reading are handing out free shirts, so that it will be a sea of blue and white amongst the Reading fans. And it's just a day to relish and enjoy, because Reading are in a no-lose situation, really. Nobody's expecting anything of them. It's the first time we've been there in 8 years. Just go and enjoy it. And as long as the players put in a performance that you can be proud of, and I'm sure they will. I know they've not done as well as many people would have hoped this season, and some of the performances, let's be honest, have been woeful. But they've got to get it right. Every big game they've really had this season, they've been able to get it right. And just hope they get it right on Saturday.
That's the main thing, I think. The fact that they go there and give every single drop of energy they've got. I think that's all the fans expect from them on Saturday. No one's really expecting them to win. Even the most diehard Reading fan will know that the odds are very much against them. But as long as they see every single one of those players go out there and give every single drop of energy that they've got to try and get Reading into that final, I don't think the fans can ask for anything more than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how are you, what's your plan for that then, Charles? When are you going to be arriving at Wembley?
I think we're going to get in there about 1 o'clock. We're not actually allowed in until 3 hours before kickoff. So it's about sort of 20 past two, they open the press gates. So I think we're going to get there at 1 o'clock and been around sort of Wembley Way speaking to the fans and, you know, just soaking up the atmosphere, getting a few photos of our photographer, getting as many, you know, Reading fans shots as we can and just enjoying the day. Exactly that, you know, it's not often that this happens. So we're all going there and just hoping to enjoy what's going to be a brilliant afternoon and evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, stay tuned to getreading.co.uk for all the latest updates and plenty of news and info on the website. We've also got lots on the telehurstend.com. There's a good piece written by John Keane with his Football Supporters Federation hat on that's got some great useful information for fans heading up, all of the pubs that are officially designated for Reading fans, some travel information. Certainly worth 5 minutes of your time if you're heading up. And as mentioned, I won't unfortunately be there. I will be exchanging vows and then hopefully celebrating a win on the dance floor. I'll pull out a robot or something if we win and put it up on the website. Actually, that's probably not a good thing to do. But needless to say, a little bit of me will be at Wembley on Saturday. Fingers crossed Reading get this win. Stranger things have happened, Charles. Stranger things have happened.
Indeed. As someone who's followed Arsenal for nigh on 30 years now, stranger things have happened. Look at Wrexham in 91 and, like you said, Birmingham not long ago. Again, it wasn't Championship club, but if any team can slip up, it's Arsenal. So, and I'm sure if they are slightly off their game, then Reading will be waiting to pounce.
Yeah. And bear in mind, the last time Reading played a cup game at Wembley, they did beat a top division side and 4-1 when they were lower division side. So there you go. There's exactly. Your good omen for today.
I was looking at some five big upsets. I had that one in there. I had Reading at Anfield, obviously, a few years back. Reading winning at Leeds in 1987. And there was a couple from the 20s there when they beat Man United and Sheffield Wednesday when there were a couple of divisions below them. And Sheffield Wednesday actually won the first division title that year when Reading beat them. So it's been done before and it will be done again. Let's just wait and see if it happens on Saturday.
Indeed. Right. Well, Charles, thank you very much for joining us. Have a good day out at Wembley. As I said, you'll have half a smile either way, but fingers crossed it's the 31,000 Reading fans that are smiling come the end of the day. And if not, there'll be one in the press box at least.
All right, Dan, thank you very much for that. And look, enjoy tomorrow, mate. Shame you can't make it to Wembley, but have an amazing day. And as I said before, soak it all in and enjoy it.
Yeah, I will do my very best. And hopefully we'll all be going there back there for the final come May. But Charles, thanks very much for joining us. As I said, you can follow Charles at Charles_Watts on Twitter. Head over to getreading.co.uk for all the latest news and thetalesend.com for all of the latest fan opinion analysis. We're out of here, the main edition of the show after Wembley. I'm not sure. I've got a small matter of a small honeymoon to take care of. And then I'll get thinking of the main edition of the show. But I'm sure Wesley, Johnny and Handbags will have plenty to say on that one. So stay tuned for that on the Twitter account. But we're off. Charles, I'll hopefully speak to you next Friday.
All right, Dan. Speak to you later.
Take it easy. Ta-da.
Get social with the boys.
Find them on Twitter
at the Tarlhurst End
and facebook.com/the Tarlhurst End.